You are now listening to Out of the Blank.
Welcome back. Mr. Kevin, it's been a whole pandemic. Most people are like, it's been ages since I've seen you. It's been a pandemic since I've seen you.
I know. Not since the Spanish flu have we not contacted each other for this amount of time.
Did you manage okay?
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
any life changes?
There are fewer people I want to hang out with now. You know, you come out of this and you go, wow, I really felt like we were taking one for the team. We buckled down. We didn't do anything. So it's like when people say, oh, what have you been doing? It's like nothing like you're supposed to do. Other people are like, oh, we went to the Dominican Republic. I'm like, what? What are you out of your mind? All right.
I know so many people that traveled and then they were like, everything's locked down. We can't go back home. I was like, yo, it's like being on a cruise ship and they won't let you return to port.
You know that I think I just heard, oh, I can't remember what it was, but there was a lottery for, get your vaccine and we'll put you in a lottery to win a free cruise. It's like, really? Do you want a cruise right now?
Do you love Disneyland that much that you want to get a shot in your arm?
That's insane.
It's like when you see, I think it's Bellagio when he was eating that fries and shake and he was like, you get a free whatever meal at Shake Shack and he's eating it on camera, which I get it because people gave him shit for doing that the last time he had like a giant public announcement. So I'm like, he's rolling with the skid, but you can't help just by like, you know how people used to go like this to pinch someone's head or something. They used to squinch this. I just wanted to, yeah. I kept doing that to him on the screen because he just, the way he does it is like so mockingly, like I'm, get your shake if you get your shot. And I'm like, okay.
Yuck. Yeah. We haven't done anything. There's been a lot of insight. No, you know what? You start to like ride a bike more, walk, go for walks. We bought an inflatable kayak and, we might be kayak people. We might be entering into like, oh my God, next stage of our life. We might be kayak people, but like, as much as I might be a kayak person, I'm not a kayak on the roof of my car person. So the loophole was there are some badass inflatable ones with a pump. Like you pump it, like you step on this thing, like, six times and it's fully inflated. It's great. We took it out once and it was like, oh my God, this thing is great.
It's what do you call it when you're sitting there in your room and trying to blow up the inflatable kite? And eventually, like an hour in, you realize you're not getting anywhere and you're just out of breath and you're tired and you just want to lay down. And you're like, I'll adventure tomorrow. But see, when you said the kayak, not on the roof of your car type person, first thing I thought when you said, I think I'm a kayak guy, I'm like, oh my God, he's going to be the type with the fisherman's hat and the vest and all this type of stuff saying, but we know those people. When you get involved into something, I think that we all have met one person in our life that like you introduce them to a new hobby or something and they'll tell you everything about the craft. Like it's like that down here on the beach with paddle boarders. Everyone's what kind of paddle board you got? And it's like, shut your mouth. Like I can't handle it. Like he's telling you all about the types of, well, that's not a good rower. This is a good rower. Do you stand up? When do you go out? I'm like, your goal right now, Kevin, is to take your kayak and just see how far you can push the boundaries. You go from a lake to something bigger, and then you end up going into the ocean and doing something amazing on an inflatable one. It could be anything.
Right. Right. No, you know what? I'm actually the other way. I'm thinking, how small can the body of water be that I can still use the kayak on? Like there is a stream that goes through our town that, when it's low rain, It's just a trickle. I would love to try to navigate that thing and get to the next town by stream.
I'll never forget when I went to my cousin's house and everything in his house was inflatable furniture. And I was like, where's your real furniture? He's like, you know how much I spent on this nice ass couch? And everything looked really nice. Like the inflatable stuff looks amazing. But then you're like, how much was it? And he put blankets on it. So you really couldn't tell like how I have a blanket on this chair. He just had one over on the couch. And I'm like, how much was it all? He's like, $50 for all this. He goes, you know how much people have couches from Rent-A-Center that they've been paying off for 8 fucking years. Like, yeah. There you go. You don't want to go in debt over your furniture. Your grandparents used to put plastic on. It's like, let me put the blanket or let me put the plastic down before you sit on it. But it's a couch. I'm supposed to sit on it. No. It's decoration.
Right. Well, see, you know, that wouldn't be good for knife jugglers. You know, like that has a precarious situation there.
It has a pop and go situation, I would say.
Right. I carry daggers on my belt, so an inflatable couch isn't good for me.
Okay. How do you judge a person? Do you judge a person if they have like a giant ass knife on the side of their belt? Because some people I see have like they call it a pocket knife, but it's the size of like their femur. And I'm like, you physically cannot get into your car because of that knife. You have to take it off before you get in. Is that for show? And I start to question, what do you do for a living where you would require something like that?
Right. Right. It's just in case, you know, somebody's bitten by a rattlesnake and I have to make cuts on either side of the bite and suck out poison. Tell you not to do.
Would you agree with me on this, that the world would be a way better place if we could bring back infomercials?
I mean, it's fine. I wouldn't watch them. They exist, right? But it's like info network, like the whole network, like anything. Here's where I get tripped up is I'm going through the guide and it'll say like shark. I'm like, ooh, shark, I'm in, right? And then you click on it and you go like, oh, the shark vacuum? You sons of bitches.
Shark week. They literally have a whole entire week where it's just destined for watching sharks. I'm like, that's I want to see infomercials like when it's 2 o'clock in the morning, you're laying in your bed, you cannot find the remote, and all they're doing is showing you the best of Bobby Brown. And they're just playing it, or no, not Bobby Brown, James Brown. And they're just showing you over and over again all the best albums of James Brown. And then after like 6 hours of it, they show you his news report where he got arrested for a high speed pursuit for waving a shotgun at somebody because they shit in his toilet. I'm like, that's what I want to see. I want to learn that education.
Right. Right. Now, I like what other infomercials are you looking for? I mean, you got your ShamWow. You got the guy who like spray paints a screen door and then goes kayaking with it.
That dick. Oh my God. The Flexa spray, whatever the hell it's called.
Right.
Look at that hole. Bam. And he slaps something on it. I'm like, oh, you son of a bitch.
How many times has that been misused? You know, like I'm just trying to think. You know, you've got your inflatable couch and you think you can just spray that dagger hole shut with this damn thing.
See, mind went to how many people thought that they had a job interview coming up, they have really bad diarrhea, and it would be interesting to spray that in there to be able to make sure they never have to go. And then now they're in the emergency room crying. We've all witnessed the child that puts a BB or a pellet up his nose and he can't get it out. That's what happens when you use that spray to think you'll never be able to shit again.
Right. I did use it though. I just had some water coming in through the big window to the back patio, but it's like there's a door and then there's another that's just a window that's right next to it, but water was coming in through
you're rich and high class.
Yeah, sure. I have a window. And
some people don't have those.
Some people don't have windows, but water was coming in through the bottom and I just sprayed it and problem solved. And I'm like, maybe I should get to the bottom of how the water comes in. Nah, the spray fixed it. The Flex Seal
Band-Aid
fixed
it.
Absolutely.
Every time I have a problem or something I need to do in my life, I always go, oh, building up credit. That's a future Robbie problem. I'll worry about that down the line. And then it gets to the line point. I'm like, why did this not get fixed earlier? And then I look back at all the times I was like, that's a future Robbie situation. Like sometimes I feel like my knee, it's going to pop out or it's going to break. And I probably should get an x-ray and get it checked or get a vice or whatever to keep my leg intact or maybe chop it off. But I'm like, that's a future Robbie problem. And the next thing I know, I'm in the middle of a Whole Foods and I slip because my fucking knee goes out.
Yeah. See, I think we're always in a battle with our future and our past selves. Like they're different guys. And you know, your future self relies on you to do shit right so that they have an easier time. But when you're that guy, and actually your present guy, you're like, I don't feel like dealing with that. I don't want, here's my thing. And this is real. I do this every year. I've got Christmas lights on the house. And you know, when you're taking, you know, putting up the Christmas lights is one thing, but taking them down is like a militant anger struggle. And I chuck it into a corner and I say, you know what? Let me next year have to deal with that. So next year, it's like, oh, I got to put up Christmas lights. And I see the bitch, that son of a bitch just didn't care enough to wind up the lights nicely. And now I have to deal with it. I have to untangle this.
You know how you constant war
with one another.
You know how you fix it? You don't
celebrate. You move to an apartment.
You switch religions. No. What right. You do is, my buddy has the best idea, because I was talking about that. Like, how many people just don't ever pull their Christmas lights down? They just leave them up there all year. He goes, that's when you get lights that don't look like Christmas ones. You get the white ones. You get the yellow ones. You get the ones that look really nice. Like, he has them in his house, in his whole entire living room. He'll decorate it for Christmas as all these Christmas lights. They look like Christmas lights, but when you turn the lights on, they're just regular lights.
right. Yeah, I mean, we are real close to doing that that projector light that just like shines Christmas images on your house and be like, there, we did it. You know, you can see a star kind of moving in an orbital fashion. Like, that sounds good.
I bet you could take a poll in your neighborhood of how many people choose not to like go all out on the Christmas stuff because it's just too hard. If it was an easier option, I bet you'd have a lot more people celebrating Christmas and not wondering why are people celebrating Christmas when there's Hanukkah. You know, you don't have to do a whole lot besides light a candle once a day. You know, it's interesting because you brought up the best thing that you were talking about. There's a war between a past self and a future self. I've talked about this many a times. There are so many moments that I wish I could go back into time and just be like, I would beat the shit out of my younger form, because you realize how like you much you didn't know when you thought you knew so much. And I was like, this is my point of like, you truly know nothing. There's everything. There's always a new perspective. There's always something different. And I've learned that from talking to so many people. And then also the government, you know, people thought the government was amazing. And then it turns into this, they're sacrificing what? You're like, yep, that's our people.
I like right now, I'm trying to make a better life for my hopefully 80-year-old self. You know, like, maybe if I eat right now, maybe that person has a shot. You know, like, I don't necessarily need longevity. I just need quality of life in, you know, into an older age, whatever that might be. You know, you don't want 10 years of like, oh, my knees, like, I can't walk anymore. Like, that would suck. So,
yeah, I talked about that with my great grandfather towards the end when he was in his like 90s. He was like, he didn't want to be around anymore. He stopped taking his medication. He was like, I look like a goblin. Like, he wasn't happy with life. So I was like, I mean, maybe it's best to burn it. I mean, you can't really say it's all about your diet. Like, people that say, maybe if you eat right or you stop smoking, you won't do this. I'm like, well, explain Lenny Kravitz. That dude was doing cocaine until he was in like his 70s. So, I mean, maybe it's just depending on the person. It's probably best to have a template that you eat right and all this stuff. But do you want to live that long? Because you get to see some people where it's like, you can't hear, your foot doesn't work anymore, you don't know where the hell you are. I'm like, I don't think that's a quality of life that's worth living.
Right, right. There is a guy back where we used to live, had a two doors down, lived to be 106.
Jesus
Christ. And yeah, and so I knew him. So I think he was like 98, 99 or something like that. And there was just a bruiser of a snowstorm. And I talked to him, and number one, you know, like he couldn't drive anymore. And he had these like badass classic cars that sat in his garage. He couldn't do anything with, he couldn't. So his eyesight was bad. He couldn't really, hear very well. So I'd have to shout, and I'd say like, "You want me to help you with your driveway?" And he's like, "I'm 98 years old. What the hell else do I have to do?" I'm like, "Have at it, dude. I agree.
Not be driving."
Well, right. No, he doesn't. He doesn't drive. He just has these cars sitting there. But, you know, I just think he was like, if I drop dead from shoveling snow, that's where the cards went. That's fine. But he would smoke a cigarette every day, and he'd have a martini every day.
That's a fucking Frank Sinatra style character.
Right. He didn't give a shit.
We have this,
and so
we have this guy in my neighborhood, and I only get angry because he has a limp, he walks funny, but he has a little tiny Shih Tzu, and a Shih Tzu, when it comes across a dog or a person, it screams like it's being murdered. And what the issue I have is that he stands in the middle of the road thinking he owns the whole neighborhood when he does his walks. And then I'm trying to come home from working like 8 hours or something, and I'm trying to pull in my driveway. He just stops in my driveway, and he does it on purpose because it's engaging into a conversation. Or then he's like, he walks over, "Hey, haven't seen you around in a while." And I'm like, "I've been here every fucking day, man. Like, what are we talking about here?" And it's like, you're nice, you're polite, you wave to him, but as soon as I get in my car, I get into my driveway or whatever, I see him in the back, like in the back rear view. It's like a shark from Jaws. I'm like, just wait till he keeps walking and passing and passing. As soon as he gets far enough down, I turn the car off and I fucking run up into my house. I'm like, I don't know if that's bad of me as a person.
It might be bad of me as a person.
I can't.
Who cares?
I can't.
You know, it's funny though. You were saying earlier that, you know, how you change, how, you know, we have our future self, we have our present self, we have our past self, and, things change and you have the capacity for change. And that just made me think of the things that I used to think one way and then went a complete 180, not shortly thereafter. So one was, I think one time I said, "I am never doing a marathon. That is stupid. Like, that's just too much, too hard, too far. Why?" 3 months later, I was in marathon training. You know, I almost think, in for me, I'm not saying this generally for everyone, but for me, there have been times when I come out so hard against something kind of randomly, like, I mean, that's not a big issue of any kind, but I came out that hard on it that it actually forced me to think about it a little bit more. Cause then the other voice is like, "Why? Not getting any younger. Maybe. Yeah. Wait a second. Fuck it. I'm doing a marathon." And then suddenly I'm doing it from like completely denouncing it earlier. I same thing happened with baloney. I was telling my girls, like, "You know what the worst thing is? Bologna." And they're like, "What?" I'm like, "It's terrible. Unless it's sliced really thin and it's like from a deli. And then it can be like, if it's just like Oscar Mayer bologna, that's brutal. With mayonnaise, I want to throw up."
Yeah.
But like thin bologna, and you put some peppers and some mustard and some onions in there, it's like, oh my God, that's brilliant. You still hate it. That's fine.
I just can't do bologna. That's like one of my, it's like when I smell brats, if anybody cooks it, all from one experience. I got really sick as a kid, and I remember there was chapstick, and it was back when you're like, nobody tells you not to eat chapstick when you're that little. They just don't even think that you're going to do it. So I was putting chapstick on.
Every kid eats it.
Basically eating it because it was grape flavored. And I remember I got so, like, I guess I had like some type of ammonia or something so bad when I was a kid. And my dad loved brats, and he starts cooking them, and I could just smell it, and it was giving me headaches and making me so sick. So whenever I smell it now, it's been 20 something years, I just get sick immediately. I'm like, "You cooked brats, didn't you?" Like, I got a headache now. I'm fucking sick to my stomach. They're like, "How do you know?" I just, it's a small little bit of it. I just heat it up in the microwave. I can smell it. Like, I will never go to a, this just keeps me out of Olive Gardens and shit.
You know, I have the option tonight to have brachos. These are nachos covered in brat. Chunks, I guess.
You want to do that?
I'm going tonight to, new, it's just available to me. Because I'm going to be going to Milwaukee to see the Milwaukee Brewers take on the Detroit Tigers. So even though I'm just north of Chicago, I'm an hour away from what used to be called Miller Park, where the Brewers play. It's now called, brand new this year, American Family Park or Field, whatever.
Hold on.
Whatever.
That's a weird rebrand, man. It's like, well, we're not, Miller sounds like beer. It's not suitable for the family. Let's call it American Family Park. That sounds great.
Well, it's no, they're, you know, it's just a sponsor. American Family, probably insurance, outbid, you know, Miller beer, but whatever. So I looked at their menu. You know, if I'm going to a new ballpark, I want to see like, oh, what's their crazy, weird, different menu item? And it's brachos. And I'm like, okay, good to know. Pass. But, you know, good to know it's there.
I remember when you used to go to those games and you would see all these, wherever you're from, really the food is like accustomed to the people that live there, I would say. So I'm like, you want to choose a place where you know you're going to like the food there. So I remember going to like, you know, Vegas and stuff. It was like all pizza and all this type of stuff, which is cool for a kid. But like, if you go somewhere, like for me would be the worst spot, it's like somewhere in Tennessee, everything's red meat. And I just can't handle red meats. I live in a fish town. That's all I eat is fish.
Right. Right. And where are you exactly?
Ocean City, Maryland.
Aha. So you'll relate to this. Me and my buddy, we take a baseball trip every year and we follow the Tigers. So that's why I'm going to Milwaukee. The Tigers are in town to play. So we're going to go. We went to Baltimore a few years ago. You know, love the city, love the stadium. And I said, I'm going to go down for some food. My buddy's like, all right. Yeah, get me whatever you're getting. I'm like, all right, because I know what I'm getting. Here you go. So I come back with a soft shell crab sandwich. It's basically a spider on a bun.
Yeah.
And I give it to him like, enjoy. There's some sauce here if you want to put it on top, but that's all there is.
It's, Old Bay on that baby.
Right. It's bun, spider, and top bun. A little sauce if you want it. And dude, I mean, as much as it looked crazy, it was freaking unbelievable. I was so happy, and he loved it too.
It's funny because I had a past guest, he's from Pennsylvania, so they don't know what a whole lot of crabs or anything, even though they're not that far from us. They're not a big crab eater type. He told me his girlfriend had a video of him YouTubing how to open up a crab, and I'm like, that is so like blasphemous to me, because I was born out of the womb knowing how to open up a crab. It's been so much a part of my life. Like, I know it's the only animal you eat at shit. Like, literally, it's the only animal. It's that yellow mustard. And watching this video of him eat a crab off YouTube was the worst thing I've ever seen in my entire life. I just looked at him like, where have you lived? Are you from a different planet? And you realize, man, your buddy that saw that crab sandwich or whatever, it probably looked like an alien, like, creature to him.
I mean, literally like that alien face grabber from the movie Alien.
Yeah.
But it was, yeah, you know, when in Rome, unless it's a braccio. I just don't want to do the braccio in Milwaukee.
You have maybe to weigh against the options. Are you going to enjoy a new taste, or are you going to have massive diarrhea on your bus ride home?
I you know what they do have is because Milwaukee and Wisconsin, big German influence, obviously with the beer, but and the brats. But the you know, they don't just have your regular soft pretzel; they have like the big German honking pretzel with the, you know, the old mustard, and it's, you know, this big. I'm like, now that I can get into. Those are fun.
That's I was listening to an interview with Mike Tyson, and they asked what food he really enjoyed and like loved when he traveled for a fight or something. He was like, dude, a nice soft pretzel. And you're like, what? You're like the crisp. And he starts describing this pretzel in such a way. You're like, you ate some dude's ear and you're fucking describing a pretzel like it's the best thing you have ever seen in your entire life. He's like, I can't beat it. And I'm like, man, I love like I'm a big comedy guy. And I think I've talked to plenty of comedian guys, but I'm also a big Who's Line improv dude. Like we talked about last time. I love the impressions. That's why my show doesn't have a script. It's just chatting and seeing where it goes. But it's like interesting to see. I saw an interview with Chris Farley, and he said he would watch Adam Sandler and David Spade in the writing room, and he would just knock stuff off their desk and try and be funny because these people had so much more talent than him. And even though he's talked about like a god amongst comedians in an improv type way, and he looked at it like, sometimes you're so great, your talent and whatever you're in, baseball, it could be floor hockey, whatever it is, you're so good at it, but you see everyone else better than you. And you don't realize the talent that you have is important when it's actually a crucial part of who you are.
I think that's such a cool thing. I think that some of the insecurity that somebody like a Farley has is fuel, is, you know, what pushes people. I think everyone who is highly successful probably came from a place of like, I just don't want to fail. I don't want to be bad. I'm not so good. Those guys are better. I got to be better. And wherever they are, like you said, like Farley is at the mountaintop. Doesn't feel like he's at the mountaintop. He's still climbing higher. And that's how you stay great. Yeah, that's being, you know, remaining hungry is great. When you think you've gotten there, that's complacency, and that's where you're not as good.
Yeah, it's kind of like people talk about like, I missed it when I was in my prime. I totally didn't capitalize. Like, it's hard to know when you're at that peak. Let's take a Ronda Rousey, for instance, that fall from grace when she started losing and stuff like that. Like, she didn't realize what she was in because she thought it was only going to go up from there. And it's like, man, but then you see the anomalies like Brad Pitt that's aging like fine wine. You know, it's like he gets better with age, and you're looking at it like, I think when you start to establish that your peak was in the past, you're automatically setting the bar to let yourself get lazy and let yourself get low. I consider that if you value other people's stuff and you look at like, for my show, it's a show. I had someone the other day say like, my son's getting into podcasting. I want him to be a famous podcaster like you. I'm like, I'm not famous. Like, if you compare me to Ocean City, maybe I'm fucking famous because nobody's famous from around here. But right. When I was talking to him, I was like, it's interesting how other people will view you compared to how you view yourself. Cause I look at it like I raise everybody up on a higher plateau or higher bar than me. And I think that keeps me wanting to treat people with such grace. When you look at people that are in power, for instance, they treat people like shit because they can.
Right. Right. But you know, I also think that I'm curious if you ever go back and look at your earlier podcasts or listen to your earlier podcasts to know how far you've come, you know, because time put in and you know, the intention that you put into it is everything. And so what's great about that, and I used to think of this in college, it's like when I realized I was absorbing information and getting it and going like, oh my God, I am so much smarter than I was a year ago. But here's the deal. A year from now, I'm going to be smarter than this. You know, like I'm just going to keep gobbling this up and keep building. And so, yeah, you should be proud. You're going to be, you know, you're going to look back at this interview and go like, oh my God, I sucked back then compared to the way I am now a year later. 500 episodes later, I'm awesome now.
It's funny you brought that up because just recently I decided to look back at my old stuff. Like, I have people that'll message me. Like, I once posted an episode where there was no audio, and like someone told me the next day, like, you didn't post any audio on the episode. It's just yours. Like, I apparently forgot to unmute his when I was editing.
Oh my God.
So then it's just me talking to myself for an hour and a half. Like, yeah, that's crazy. Oh yeah, Pee Wee Herman is insane. And then it's like all this stuff. And then So I decided I'm going to look back through some of my old episodes, and what I want to try and do, it's going to be a long haul of a process, but I have to YouTube convert all my old YouTube episodes and then try and correct the audio so they sound better, because before I got the nice mic and everything, they sound really, really shitty. And
yeah,
listening to some of like the first ones I had where I was just like, they were in person, I didn't know what the show was, we were trying to like, let's talk about this or let's talk. And I'm like, to see myself now where it's just like, I think it's because before I was really monitoring like the way I didn't want to come off like an idiot. I only wanted to talk about things that I knew. But then I learned like when you gather so much information to truly make the show into something, you can't worry about all this type of stuff. You just have to be yourself and hope that people respect that and accept you for who you are. You know, I'm not a bad guy. I'm me. I'm genuine. I'm authentic. When I ask you things, I could sit here and say a bunch of stuff that would be popular or trendy and stuff or this, or, you know, whatever, turn into a Howard Stern type show to get views. Sure. But I don't want to do that. I legit genuinely want to have an authentic conversation, because as much as you know, as fun as it is to do improv, it's also sometimes you got to be like, all right, dude, let's fucking for real though. I want to talk to you. And then you see how it goes from there.
Right. I do. I have friends, you know, improv friends where you have to constantly check in and go like, wait, is this a bit? Oh, you were serious. Oh, what? I don't know. You know, and I mean, I'm guilty of that as well, because, you know, the best bit is the one that sounds real. And they're like, what are you serious? There are lizards coming? Like, yeah, dude, lizards everywhere. They're coming like the cicadas, but they're lizards, dude. Wow.
You got to be careful though, because I'll accidentally like create like a, someone will be like, hey, like I was talking to a past guest and my one buddy messaged me. I'm like, yeah, I'm talking to Mark later today. And he was like, oh, no way. Tell him I said hi. I was like, yeah, I'll tell him. He just got out of surgery. And I'll create a fake scenario knowing I'm going to say I'm joking. And then later I get so wrapped into it where I forget to tell him. And then it becomes this whole thing where like, bro, you got to at least like come home with stitches or something, so he knows that you actually had surgery, so I don't look like a liar. Like, and it's just good fun. It's like when you pick up the phone, right, and someone's like, would you like to buy some car insurance? You're like, sure, I could talk for a little while. And they're like, well, Jim, let me tell you, and your name's not Jim, you're just rolling with it, but now you're too deep.
Right. Oh my God. Hey, I have to tell you that, when you did the podcast where it was only your side, mm-hmm, speaking, there was, you ever see those Garfield cartoons where they take Garfield out?
No.
So it's just John. So it's like these cartoons where they just erase Garfield, like he just doesn't exist, and they put up the panel as it is with only John. And he turns into this complete schizophrenic. I mean, you got to check him out. They are hilarious because, you know, he's just kind of like looking around, looking at something else, screaming and then running, you know. But in the context of Garfield, obviously he's reacting to Garfield. But when there's no Garfield there, he just looks like a lunatic. It is extremely satisfying.
So there's a old, we talk about infomercials. There's a medication commercial for schizophrenia. Now, are you too familiar with what schizophrenia is?
No.
It's so weird because it's never something niche. Like you get headaches. Basically, there's a whole list of symptoms where like you basically make yourself insane. It's why I say the world's entering an era of schizophrenia with conspiracies and all these like shit. You don't know what's real.
Right.
So the commercial is the best example of that. It's for a medication. There's a lady walking down a street. She's the one with schizophrenia. And she sees a guy at an ice cream stand handing a kid an ice cream cone. And then she looks over at him, like blinks her eyes and looks over at him, and he's taking photos of her, just rapidly taking photos of her. And she like go like that, rubs her eyes and then looks back, and the guy's handing her the ice cream cone again. It's when you think the world is out to fucking get you. And then they show like, well, if you take this drug, then it'll all be fixed. And then it's her sitting down with a bunch of friends. And then I just start going, are those people that she's talking to actually fucking there? Like, I know she's on the medication, but how do we know it worked? Like, how many people talk like, yeah, it's your cousin Jim. We don't have a cousin Jim. And you realize that person that you've been talking to for so long, thinking that you're your best friend, people just don't want to tell you that you're insane talking to yourself. I probably, like, when you go to a mental hospital, half of those people probably think they're making sense. And then you're like, shh, take the pill.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I can't imagine. Yeah, I got nothing on schizophrenia. That's got to be terrible. I think, you know, what's that comic, Jim Jefferies? Is that his name? He's Australian.
Yeah.
And he,
I've never seen his work. His writer's been on my show, but I didn't even know. He kept dropping his name, and I was like, I don't know who the fuck that guy is, man.
Oh, he's hilarious. But he said this one thing one time where I'm like, oh my God, I thought I was the only one who thought that. He says, like, he goes, you know, I'm talking to you guys right now, but I don't know. I might be standing in an elevator right now going like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, fuck, I think that shit all the time. I mean, this seems pretty real, but who knows? I could be hang gliding right now, and this is my way of dealing with a fear, you know, like, who knows?
So I had someone tell me that ADHD means that you're like, you're mentally challenged. And I was like, I have ADHD. I'm not mentally challenged. But like the way that we look at mentally challenged versus like mentally disabled is like mentally a challenged or something would be like something that may inhibit you to learn easier, or like a certain thing like ADHD could, you know, it's hard for you to learn. That's how the education system views it. But society views it as you mean that person is like retarded, like that word. And I can say that because my school at one point thought I was, because I had so much energy, because the time I went to school, they just didn't know what ADHD was. So they used to lock me in a room and just with a piece of paper in front of me. So I can use that word, mostly okay, because I support helping, actually making them into better jobs that are not just stacking items at a fucking grocery store. That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. A lot of them are super intelligent. But back to the point of it, I remember her telling me that, and I was like, you ever had that feeling that you're retarded and nobody's telling you? And then like, I remember I was talking to someone like a few episodes after that episode, I was talking to a tarot card reader, and she goes, I was talking about the lights that, and like the long bulb ones, the ones you see in like hotels and shit. And I was like, sometimes I can hear it. And she goes, you know, that's what they say. Like mentally challenged people can hear those lights. And I go, stop. This is not going to be the episode where I find out I'm mentally challenged and nobody's telling me. Like, I'm sitting here thinking I have this show where I'm talking to people and having these intelligent conversations about the CCP and all these like government stuff. And then really I'm just sitting here going and just like fucking all over the place. Like, I don't know.
There's an Onion headline that says something about an old woman is having an email correspondence with Mailer Damon. You know, when you like, if you just made up an email address and just emailed it, you'd get an immediate response, and it'll say like system failure, and it'd be like mailer@damon, whatever it is. But she thinks that's a person. She's like, he responds to me so quickly, it's so courteous, and I tell him about my day. And sometimes he has a similar day because she's reading what she wrote and thinks that that's his response. Like, but she's happy in this world of this pretend friend that she thinks is there.
It's not so bad to create your own world, to live in like a bubble, but it's also not best to be built in that you get lost into it. Like, so many people don't want to, like I say, there's two types of people in the world. There's people that want to be left the fuck alone, and there's people that won't leave them the fuck alone. That's 100% true, because I mean, my favorite comedian of all time is Jim Brewer. So Jim Brewer, I thought was like this nice, like stoner type guy. Well, I heard him on a recent episode of Joe Rogan, and he was like this angry dude. He starts talking about all the corrupt stuff behind SNL and all this like system that they were stealing his bits, and then they were taking credit for, and then he wasn't doing all this, and he realized how bad it was. And I was like, I built up this world thinking my favorite comedian was this overall nice guy, and I realize now he's an actual person and he fucking hates the comedy system. We all think SNL is this amazing, awesome show that you can get your comedy stardom on. And the next thing you know, you realize it's a horrible, money grabbing, attention seeking, like little, whatever you would call it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where, if I'm watching any late night shows, so like, I'm a Colbert guy, and once he's done with just like his bits and comedy, and he's going to interview somebody, that's usually when I'm done, because it's like, yeah, I like that guy as an actor, but he might say some stuff that's just going to anger me or you know, disappoint me. Like the one that was the biggest disappointment for me was, man, that Amelia Clark is oh, what's her real name? Or what's her? She was on Game of Thrones, and she's Khaleesi. I can't think of Daenerys. Seen it. Yeah, smoking hot, great actress, just a cool character, just delivers. I mean, that whole show, I was just like, she is unbelievable. And then I saw her on like Jimmy Fallon. I was like, oh my God, I want to strangle her. She's brutal. She's like 10th to the 10th Anne Hathaway. She's like so ridiculously annoying that it's ruining like how I know that she is still a good actor.
Your example is the same one when people go see David Cross's comedy because they've seen him in Alvin and the Chipmunks. And they think it's the guy from Alvin and the Chipmunks. They go there and he's like, fuck Trump. And he's like all this, like, oh my God. He's
militant. Yes. Yeah, he is. He is militant, man. He doesn't give a shit. That's hilarious.
That's why I'm like, I'd rather just be authentic. So I'm not coming off as like this person that actually like, oh, let's all talk about this and that. I'm like, dude, just be like yourself. So people don't react so badly when they find out you're an anti-Trump or anti-whatever. So they don't freaking lose their shit. Like, you're not the person we believed in. It's like, no, I'm a regular person with thoughts and emotions, and I actually care about where I'm living.
Right. Well, and then, you know, for him, I mean, he doesn't care. That just weeds out the people he didn't really want anyway.
It's like Chappelle, his Sticks and Stones special. All he did in the beginning was make fun of the audience and they laughed at it. And honestly, if you want a really good special to watch right now, I don't know if you're familiar with Bo Burnham.
You are like the 10th person to tell me that this is great. I'm writing it down. I'm Bo Burnham.
I followed him since he was making YouTube videos back in like 2012, 2011, like when he was first on YouTube and I was a little kid watching his like welcome to YouTube videos. And then he had his couple of specials. His comedy is not a comedy. I think a lot of people that are actual comedians really enjoy because he uses music and a lot of them see that as like a crutch, especially like the older comics. It's kind of like not authentic to the craft of just crafting out a joke. He just uses music. He admits to that too, but his inside special is all about like the 6 months in lockdown is him creating it without like no professional stuff. He talks about it, but all of his songs, he's got one called The Internet and he just, it's like a boom, bah, boom, bah, like a carnival style theme to it that speeds up later throughout the song, but it just welcome to the internet. And he's like, he's just naming a bunch of stuff that people would search up. Like here's a photos of your mom. And then here's a 9-year-old that died. And it's like the random search history of what the internet of the world would be like. And it's like it's just so, cause you watch it and you're like, that's 100% real. And it makes you laugh because he points out the absurdities, much like Dave Chappelle does with his comedy specials. He points out the absurdity of cancel culture. He points out all this stuff that was supposed to be this great homage and this amazing thing that society was supposed to do. And now it's like, you just label somebody a racist without even knowing them. It's like, you just call them out because you see whatever they said, something, you take it out of context, you surface research, and then you go from there. And I'm like, that's why we talked about last time. The issue with comedy is hard to crack a joke because you don't know how the audience is going to take it. And it's best like when we talked about people shout, and I'm remembering this from my memory, not from listening to it. But when you mentioned like if someone shouts out like a 9/11, it's like you got to find a different scenario, or you got to find a way to twist that around or something. You got to find a different method to it because people want to see it kind of bomb in a way. And that's a lot of thing with comedy too. There's always that one person in the crowd that's gonna be upset, that's gonna be rampaged. And I think when you start caring so much about what the audience is listening to, what you think the audience wants to hear, and you just stop being yourself, you never find that jam or that vibe. You turn into the person they want you to be, and it hurts the comedy a little bit. And we're seeing that in the new age, I would say. A lot of these comedians coming out now are just like, I don't give a shit. I'm going to say something, and if you're offended by it, that's your fault, because you shouldn't be offended. It's meant to make you laugh. I don't mean to make you cry.
Right. However, and I only have a small however on this, just from I think we're still saying the same things. I had a buddy of mine who did a set in Chicago the feature, right? So you got the host, you got the feature, you got the headline, right? So he was doing a feature, and I mean, that crowd was electric. They were ready to go. The host goes up there, does a couple mediocre jokes, and they're out of their chairs. They loved it. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. My buddy goes up there and just shits the bed. He just let all the air out of the room. Why? Because he stayed locked into this character that he really likes. So he's doing a character for his entire stand-up. Like, that's his alter ego that he puts out there. And it was, people were cringing. It was just, I felt terrible. And then when he left the stage, host gets back on, warms him back up. Headliner comes back out. Again, this guy wasn't some wizard. He was just a decent stand-up. They were explosive laughing. Like, they were there to see people succeed. They wanted to laugh. They couldn't wait to laugh. And my buddy got pigheaded with not being able to read the room, as they say, and realize that maybe this type of character was not the right call with this group. In fact, had he gone out there with nothing at all and just vibed off the audience, he probably would have crushed. You know, they would have, if he would have just asked a few questions and just riffed off of them, they probably would have loved it. But the pretense that he took up there was, you know, it just was brutal. I was looking for the exit. I'm like, all right, how do I get out of here? You know, because I don't know if I can face him when he comes back here. I don't know if I can tell him he did a great job.
There are some things I'll say that really suck, but in the grand scheme of things, of how I honestly feel about a lot of things, is I think when it comes to art, whether it's a movie, and a lot of people say like it's terrible or it's bad, I'm like, it's not really, you're comparing it to something. Just understand it's a work of someone's mind or something. Whether it's a comedy set really never bombs, because there's so many implications that can really go into someone's head. When they bomb, it's because maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they didn't bring down the energy of the crowd because the guy that opened up before them was this high wacky person, like a Joey Diaz type. And then you're a Dave Attell, you know, it's hard to kind of bring it back down, even though Dave Attell's great. It's an aspect of like, you got to understand it's such a hard craft to do. You're making people laugh. You're trying to capture an audience's whole entire attention for 30 minutes or 45 minutes or so. It's not an easy thing to do. And then people on YouTube just want to comment and break the shit out of you on it. It's like, dude, right, you're not doing it. You got to understand that these people are actually putting effort into it. They're not going up there expecting to bomb. Nobody expects that. But you could probably check in my catalog of episodes. I have some episodes where it was like the stars aligned. It must have been my horoscope month or whatever. And this conversation, everything was a fucking one, like a bam, bam. Like, everything was flowing together perfect. I was like, I'll never be able to do that again. It depends on the time, man.
Right. I will say this guy, you know, I think he was a victim of just time put in, of laziness. Like, I just don't think he went up there with as much of a plan as he owed that audience. You know, like, so there was a time, this is years ago, and I hope he never watches this, but years ago in Chicago, where he was just doing open mics, and I had never done stand up. And he's like, hey, you want to go to this thing with me? I'm like, yeah. And so we're sitting at the table, and he has a napkin and a pen. And I'm like, what are you doing? And he goes, just writing out some jokes. I'm like, for right now? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you didn't come with jokes? It's like, just work on these. And that's exactly how his set sounded. Like, he had just come up with it earlier. You know, and it's one thing to go up there and be, I guess, an improviser and be able to riff, but that's not what he was doing. He was reaching into this this bag he just didn't have a preparation.
He didn't have the ability to be able to pull it out of nothing either.
Right, exactly. Like, you know, the things that you wrote on that napkin, if you craft, like you said, if you work through it, I mean, you know, it is an open mic. You don't know what's going to hit and what's not going to hit. But if you don't give it at least the benefit of a well thought out plan and a little bit of rehearsing and execution, you're not, and so here I am, and I'd never done stand up, but I'm like, when he came back down, I'm like, dude, and I was back then, I was brutally honest. I'm like, dude, that was terrible. Come on, man. You are, and I guess to me, what was frustrating about it is he is funny. He has funny thoughts. He has the capability. He's certainly not afraid of the stage. I'm like, today you put in, an hour of effort into that set, and I guarantee it's going to be better. I don't think you can just wing a stand-up set. That is never going to go well. Unless you're Robin Williams, unless you're just a handful of mutant people out there who can be good anyway. But yeah, not the other 95% of us. There's just no way. You got to work at it. You got to fail.
You're my Patrick Swayze, Kevin. Except you're alive. I didn't know he was dead until Family Guy told me.
Oh my God.
I didn't grow up.
How am
him.
I Patrick Swayze?
I don't know, because you're my canary in a coal mine.
Yeah, he's dead. That's terrible. Yeah. I'm there for you. I'm there to catch you when we want to do our final scene in Dirty Dancing.
Yes. That's all I wanted in life. That's all you should ever expect from anybody, is to be able to catch you when you're in that final scene.
There you go. There's the whole thing. I hope I didn't say this in the other podcast. It wouldn't matter. We don't remember. But I did a whole workshop with this this company, and at the end, and it was great. It's just doing an improv workshop with these people that use improv for their craft. And then at the end, I threw in this improv-y thing. But just off the top of my head, I just kind of threw it in. But it became the most important thing to them when we talked at the very end.
We talked about this, and they couldn't.
They
kept clenching onto it and kept going back to that.
Right. It was. I got your back. Right. Yeah. I thought it's starting to sound familiar. I love that. That thing you didn't expect became the big thing. But the got your back thing is, like you said, you're going to do something crazy. I don't care. I'm going to make that look good. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to catch you. Well, like Patrick Swayze.
Kevin, I appreciate you for giving me your time today, man. Is there a place where people can find you at? Any message you want to say to anybody that they're listening?
Yeah, I've been writing for boingboing.net. And when I say writing, it's kind of like reposting. So it's I don't know what you call it. It's a website that has articles, but they're generally like reposts, like, hey, this happened here. And so it's a little combination of news. Yeah. A little combination of news and The Onion, because I can throw in jokes and stuff like that. So boingboing.net. Check it out, because that's a pretty cool thing. Second City is starting to reopen. I may have an in-person class in a week if we have enough signed up for it. So that's a thing. So hey, man. Oh, if there's a good thing from the pandemic, you can take a Second City class wherever and do it by Zoom, and it is the same classes, obviously Zoom versus in person, but it's the same format as the in-person classes, right? Not the format, same curriculum. So you're getting the same info online as you would in person. So that's kind of a cool thing. Secondcity.com, you'll be able to find it there.
I'll make sure I link it all in the description. And thanks for listening to this episode of the Blank Podcast.